able to be there, I thought it might be very special to share one of Leo's magical creations before your talk this morning, so that we can continue to bring these souls in that are part of the fabric of Unity of New York. And so I will see you on the other side. I can't wait to hear whatever insights you have to impart today. And
I can't wait to hear either.
If your heart's not already open, everyone, get ready. Love you, Brother Carlos.
Hallelujah. Wow. There were three people that I was not aware of that were being memorialized that I was under the assumption were still on the planet. And there were others who I knew had made transition, had finished their work here in their body temple, and had been freed as pure spirit to return to the light. And so there's a part of me right now, this morning, after seeing that, that wishes I had had a bigger heads up for what I was about to experience. But I understand that everything is as it should be. And I'm remembering to be grateful in every way and to think thoughts that bring me joy. Thoughts about what a blessing I have received to be in the company of such as these, and to be in your company, my sisters and my brothers, this morning. Here we are. God has called us to be here, to be the light of the world. Here we are, sisters and brothers, still breathing air in and breathing it out. Here we are, brothers and sisters, in the land of the living, embodiments and personifications of the light of God, doing the work of awakening to the truth of who we are and whose we are. Together, I love that word. It's good to know we are not alone, that we have one another. And it's good to know what role we play in the lives of one another, the role of loving, the role of listening, the role of touching gently, the world of uplifting, the role of encouraging. I am so very grateful. One thing I appreciate about living life on planet Earth is that it is an arena of choices. I don't get to choose everything. Like when I was born or when my term here will be over. I don't get to choose some of the circumstances, such as the circumstances of my birth, my education, the experiences that I experience. But I do get to choose what I do with those experiences I experience, what I get to do with what I have and what is so for me. I love the power of choice that we have been given. And the most important of these, of course, is the power to think what we choose to think. No one outside of us can cause us or make us think anything we think. This is a self-possessed power. You get to choose what you think. You get to choose what you focus upon. We all agree that life on planet Earth, life in the physical embodiment, is a mix. We agree with that. We agree together that this field is a field of polarity, that each experience has its opposite experience. We know one thing is what it is by comparing it to what it isn't. I know I'm healthy in comparison to when I have been ill. I know when I'm financially blessed by comparing it to times when there was the appearance of lack or limitation. It's a field of opposites. We get to know what is by comparing it to what isn't. This field of polarity, as I understand it, according to biblical teachings, was introduced in the Garden of Eden. I've been told, and I resonate with the fact, that the Garden of Eden is a realm of pure perfection. All there is light. All there is God. All there is love. All there is safety. All there is well-being. All there is good. And as I understand the story in the Book of Beginnings, it was said that the children of God ate of a tree bearing the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, good and bad, light and darkness. And that brought the field of polarity into a seemingly real state of being that we're living in. We get to choose. In this field of polarity, there will always be the appearance of shadow. In order for us to be able to experience and recognize the presence of light. And we get to choose what we think about each of those states of being and which state we will lean into. We get to choose what we think. I have wondered many times in my life why it is that we were given the power of the choice to think what we think, given the fact that much of what we think is not good for us, does not lift us, does not support us, and does not enliven us. But argue as much as I did, this is the field I am experiencing in my human experience. I can't argue my way out of it. It will always be. And so in this field, I can't wipe away, why was I given the power and the authority to think what I think? Oh my God, sometimes what I'm thinking is destructive. Sometimes what I am thinking makes me so sad. And sometimes what I am thinking makes me afraid. And I don't want to be sad, and I don't want to be afraid. And so it is my work to guard my thoughts. It is my work to guard my focus, where I place my attention and what importance I give to what it is I'm seeing. Thoughts are things. Oh, there's so many beautiful and amazing things to be focused upon. So many powerful and wonderful, uplifting and enlivening thoughts to think. And there are the opposites of these. There are many things I can focus upon and thoughts I can hold in my mind and in my heart that do not serve my joy. I'm a work in progress, and so are you. Bit by bit, moment by moment, and choice by choice, we are awakening from the dream, or we are deepening our experience of sleep. I know many people who claim they want to feel alive. They want that aliveness. They see it in others. They feel cheated. You seem so alive. You seem so joyous. You greet the day with, it's the best day ever. You seem to just keep on rising, keep on rising. How can you in this world? How are you able to wake up with pep in your step, with them vigor and vitality? How are you able to greet the world with, it's the best day ever and I will not change my mind, when there is so much sorrow in the world, so much darkness in the world, wars and rumors of war? I simply choose what I choose to think about. I choose to focus on the light. Choose you this day who you will serve, says the scriptures. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the light. We will serve what is positive. I have good friends of mine who have confessed to me that whenever there is a war going on anywhere in this world, anywhere on this planet, they cannot have a moment's peace. They cannot experience the fullness of joy. And they wonder how others can. How can you have a happy day in your little town or in your city, knowing that people are being attacked, bombed, killed, murdered, raped, molested, you name it, in another part of the world, or even in another part of your own hometown? How can you greet the world with, it's the best day ever? I simply say, because it is the best day ever. I do not deny the sadness and the pain of what is happening in so many places on planet Earth. I do not deny that the suffering of many causes each and every one of us to suffer. But it is not my single focus. Brothers and sisters, how can we see the light if we are not looking for it? And I've asked you and myself many times, why is it that many of us seem addicted to focusing upon the shadow, addicted to focusing upon the dark side? In the field of polarity, the light and the darkness, what compels so many of us to focus our attention upon the darkness while claiming we want to feel more alive, more happy, more joyous, and more peaceful? I have friends of mine right now who cannot rip themselves away from focusing their attention on every bit of available news that shouts out loud that the darkness is here. Focusing their attention on getting more and more details of each and every tragedy. I've asked them, what benefit to peace does this bring about? I wonder sometimes if people believe that it is being spiritual to look for, find, discover, and speak about the tragedies of this world. We sing, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. How can I have peace if I am not looking for reasons to feel peaceful? My title of this talk, as you see, why seek ye the living among the dead? If I want to feel alive and rejoice at being alive, why would I seek that aliveness among the dead? Seeking the living to me means seeking a joyous experience of life, a peaceful experience of life, a loving experience of life, a prospering experience of life, all the good stuff. But that must begin with me. And it works from inside out. I must have joy in my heart. I must have love in my heart. I must have peace in my heart. It would not be possible, at least for me, to devote 3-4 more or less hours of my day searching through the news, whether it's on the internet, whether it's in the newspaper, whether it's in a magazine, whether it's on television, about every tragedy that's happening, believing that it is my spiritual responsibility to know all of the shadow activities that are happening so I can hold everything in the light. No. I teach, observe, but do not absorb. You don't have to search for the shadow. It shows, it rears its head. It is alive and well, like the scripture said, roaming upon the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom it may devour, seeking whose peace it may take away, whose joy it may take away, whose hope it may destroy. Don't let that lion catch up with you. Think high thoughts. Focus your attention upon all of the good and wonderful blessings that are occurring each moment of every day in the surround. Let the love in your heart be the love you have been looking for. Let the peace in you be the peace you have been seeking. Be your reason for joy. Be your reason for feeling alive and rejoicing at being alive. I love my favorite among many of the scriptures that I have shared for decades and grew up loving as a little boy when my parents shared them with me. They come from Paul's letter to the church of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, well, think on these things. These thoughts are available. We think what we choose to think, brothers and sisters. Let's choose to think higher thoughts. Let's choose to think the thoughts that enliven us. Let us refuse to seek the living among the dead. Thoughts are things. I love that Reverend Britt reminded us that November is the month of gratitude. Let's just practice and see how much attitude of gratitude we can carry each day of this month. Let us not wait until our Thanksgiving meal to bow our heads or fold our hands and to think thoughts of how blessed we are and how many things and people we have to be grateful for. Let's outdo ourselves this year. Through every following day of this month, make each day a day of thanksgiving, a day of practicing an attitude of gratitude. If you are willing, withdraw so much of your focus or attention on the dark side, on the shadow. After all, Jesus said, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. There will always be the hungry and the hopeless among you. Do what you can to help. Do what you can to bring peace. But once again, observe, but don't absorb. Don't let the tragedies of the world bring you down. Don't let the wars and rumors of war immobilize you. Do not allow them to sap you of your strength and your aliveness. Do not seek the living among the dead. You will not find it there. Look for the good stories. Look for and spread the uplifting news, the evidence that God is alive and well, residing on planet Earth and in your heart and in your mind. What you seek, you will find. That's one of the reasons why I'm so grateful for this ministry. This ministry on our Sunday mornings, like we are right now, our Sunday morning celebrations, and all of the offerings that are offered to each and every one of us throughout the week are a welcome table for those who would come to practice an attitude of gratitude, to be grateful, to be thankful, to marvel at the beauty of the world, to uplift one another, to extend compassion to one another. It takes a village. We are a village. And so with deep gratitude in my heart, I say thank you, God, for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. I will keep my eye on the prize. I will focus on the light that I am, the light that you are, each and every one of you, one by one and name by name. And I will turn up the volume on my attitude of gratitude with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what I think I'll do. Join me, if you will. Peace. Although it is tempting to focus upon the shadow appearances in this world of my surround, I will not yield to such temptation. I will not yield to the temptation to focus my attention upon the appearance of the ever-changing shadows. I will focus upon the light. God is everywhere today. This is what I will know in my heart. And this is what I will seek to see. Always, in all ways, in everything. The light of God is shining in the shadow. And the light of God is eternal. Only the light is real. I refuse to focus my attention or my concentration on what is not real, because it is not everlasting. The fleeting clouds of the shadows have always been and will always be. Yet I will focus upon the light. Only God is real. This I will remember. And I will focus upon the thoughts I choose to think about the surround, about the Creator, and about myself, a created one of the one Creator. I seek the light. I will look upon all the many reasons for me to feel alive, for me to feel safe, for me to feel grounded in the truth that sets me free, time and time and time again. I am the love of God. I am the light of God. I am the power of God. I am the presence of God. This I choose to know, and this I choose to be. I seek the light. I will not focus upon things that diminish my feeling of aliveness with so many countless other things that increase my experience of being alive, well, whole, and free. I seek not the living among the dead. I seek the living in life itself. And so I relax.
Just illusion.